The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own, your stuff, really are actually helping you live out what you feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind that comes when your financial goals are aligned with your values and convictions, as well as being aligned with your financial goals. Actually, Eric, I think I just kind of said something repetitive there, but anyway.
No, I think they got it.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of pieces.
Aligning your values is the important part.
Yeah, aligning your values is the important part. Forget about whatever we had scripted, right? But actually, there really is a lot of peace of mind that comes when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. Mm-hmm. There's so much anxiety when you sense that that's not the case, right? If you just kind of get the feeling that your money is not aligned with your values and convictions.
That's right. But you know, that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
Yeah, that's right. And when you are confused, you don't make good decisions.
Mm-mm.
And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be. It can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 7.
That's right,
episode 7 of Money in Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. And each week, in the first part of our show, we talk about some current financial events, so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
Yeah, part of the way through the show,
we have our weekly puzzler. And the weekly puzzler is a brain teaser, a puzzle that we'll share with you. And like we always say, we don't know if the puzzler will actually be interesting to you, but it for sure is something that is interesting to us.
It sure is.
That's right.
That's right. I was talking with Joe just a couple of minutes before the show today, and he just looked at me. Where do you get these weekly puzzlers? Right. So, well, we'll talk about that in a bit.
So, James, let's just start with our week in review. What did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Yeah, so it was interesting to me. You know, there's all this discussion, and we've talked about this before, will the Fed raise rates or will the Fed lower rates and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And whenever the Fed raises or lowers rates, of course, what they're working at doing is, you know, trying to slow down inflation, or sometimes even they're trying to create inflation. And the Fed is known as a central bank.
Yeah.
But there are actually central banks all over the world. There's a Europe central bank. There's a central bank in Australia. There's a central bank in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
There are more than 100 such central banks all around the world.
And like you said, it's like a delicate balancing act, right, that central banks face when they're setting these interest rates?
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you know, there's debate in among economic scholars as to whether or not raising or lowering interest rates like that and sort of tweaking is actually effective. I mean, it creates some activity and it creates an impact, but is it really effective? But the interesting thing is, while, you know, our Federal Reserve has been saying they want to hold interest rates, and at first they were talking about cutting and now they're holding, the Bank of Canada sort of got ahead of the U.S. Fed and cut rates by 25 basis points. That was earlier in June.
Mm-hmm.
And while the global economy grew at about 3%, still the Bank of Canada cut rates. And it was interesting, a couple weeks later, we saw this headline that said that there was an unexpected surge in inflation in Canada.
Unexpected,
that's right.
Right.
But they cut rates. The European Central Bank, again, also sort of beat the Fed to lowering rates. But now, again, there's inflation rearing its head in Europe. And so there's some discussion about whether future cuts might be limited.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when a single country decides to lower their rates, that can set off a chain reaction in a global economy.
That's right.
Affecting trade flows, currency values, and ultimately the prices consumers pay.
That's right. That's exactly right. There's actually a central bank in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And the Philippines central bank decided to hold rates steady. There's a central bank in Turkey.
And they're holding steady as well, right?
The headline is Turkey's central bank keeps rates on hold as they're wondering whether inflation is going to slow down. And what is this Riksbank? I guess that's Sweden's central bank. So there's central banks all over the globe like that, and they're all, you know, in the same conversation as to whether or not rates will be cut or stay steady or go up. But we've talked on this show before about the fact that inflation happens when you have buying power, but there's either the same amount of stuff or fewer amounts of things for people to buy, right?
Yep, and the phrase,
that's
too many dollars chasing too few goods.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, we were talking about how shipping stuff around the globe back and forth was somewhat being interrupted because there was violence in the Middle East. And we started talking about all the stuff that got shipped through the Suez Canal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I find shipping interesting like that. Maybe it's because if there's an interruption of that stuff, then there's less to buy, right? And if there's less to buy, then that creates inflation, or it's one of the things about inflation. So I, you know, was just doing a little bit of homework, and I realized that you can put 10,000 tractor trailer loads of cargo on a container ship.
Hmm. Wow.
10,000.
Now, is that 10,000 containers?
That is 10,000 containers.
Okay.
Yeah, because the tractor trailer, like what you see driving up and down here on Route 83 and 81.
They can get up to 53 feet long.
They can.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there are 132 such trailers in a mile.
Okay.
Which means that if you took all the containers on a container ship and laid them end to end,
like on the Pennsylvania Turnpike?
Yes. It would, one cargo ship would stretch for 75 miles. Wow.
That's a lot of miles.
That's how much stuff. I mean, it's
one
thing.
Ship.
To, yeah, it's one thing to talk about inflation and, you know, trade deficits and so on, but to picture all of that stuff would stretch for 75 miles. Now, I think last week we said there are 50 such container ships that go through the Suez Canal every single day.
Yeah, I think we recalled 7 to 10% of the world's oil travels through the Suez Canal.
That's right.
And, you know, while some ships can divert around Africa to avoid the canal, that adds significant time, up to 2 weeks.
That's right.
Fuel costs, increasing expenses, and all that's eventually passed on to consumers.
That's right. So if we took that, you know, one container ship laid end to end goes 75 miles, and you have 50 container ships, that is 3,750 miles of containers that go through the Suez Canal every single day.
I think it's 3,000 from one end of the country to the other when I drove that. I think it's a little over 3,000.
Yeah, so from coast to coast, the United States is 2,892 miles.
In a straight line.
In a straight line.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it would have to be a straight line, which might be interrupted by certain mountains and so on and so forth. But the point really is that there are more container ships laid end to end that go through the Suez Canal every single day than, I mean, it stretches more than across the whole entire United States. Mm-hmm. That is an enormous amount of stuff. And so really, if there's an interruption there and it interrupts the supply chain, the amount of stuff that people can buy, then that's inflationary.
Right. Right. There's longer routes causing shortages, production bottlenecks.
That's right.
And increased costs for the companies. Their insurance premiums are going up. Those congestions and delays cost those companies dearly.
That's right. So, you know, you can raise interest rates, or you can lower interest rates in an effect to either, you know, create more or less inflation. But here you have a supply chain issue that's very, very real. And an interruption in the supply chain creates or has an inflationary impact.
So would you say inflation is here to stay?
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, just little old me, you know, and I think inflation is here to stay. Yeah, I really do. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think so as well. And even if it creeps back down to a level that we're happy with, those prices are still baked into all the products that we buy.
That's right.
So we made that big jump. Yeah, everyone's feeling it.
Yeah, and you just can't avoid the fact that all that stuff has to get shipped all over the globe before it can actually make its way to a place where somebody can actually buy it, right? And because of that, then you've got inflation, or an inflation impact anyway.
Right.
Well, I know we should find a way of working that into a weekly puzzle.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure he'll find a good way to do that.
I'm sure I'll find a good way to do that.
And Joe will laugh at us.
That's right. Joe's over there saying, please don't put that in a weekly puzzle. but, you know, it's one thing to see the headlines and so on and so forth, and it's another thing to kind of really picture what that actually means.
Right.
And as you said earlier, we're trying to help understand what the terminology means and just be able to picture that in real life.
Yeah. Well, I think we're about out of time in this segment. When we come back, we will get to our today's topic, which we will talk about the importance of putting your plans in writing. I know last week we talked about defining success, and now we're going to talk about why it's so important to have those written down. And we'll be back after this break. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, AM 720, WHYF, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. You know, if there's only one thing that you take away from today's show, we really want it to be that you are much more likely to succeed when you write things down.
That's right.
And when it comes to things that are as important as your investments and your wealth management and fulfilling your life's mission, the stuff that you really feel God has put in your heart to do with your life, you really want to take every step possible to succeed. So last week, you mentioned, Eric, last week we talked about the importance of defining success. And if you weren't able to listen to that last show, you can go to, Joe, is it the resources section on Holy Family Radio? On the website, there's a resources section, and you can see the podcasts.
Unless he changed it. I believe there's a section there with a little drop-down menu.
That's right.
It says podcast or whatever. You can drop down and get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's under the resources if memory serves.
That's right. So if you weren't...
And even on the main tab, there's a blue button on the right.
Mm-hmm.
It says listen to podcasts.
That's mm-hmm. right. So if you weren't able to tune in last week, you can find the... You can find the podcast from last week there on the Holy Family Radio website. And we are in the middle of creating a section on the Wealth Development Council website for podcasts as well.
And we'll have that up and running soon.
We'll have that up and running soon. So you can visit www.wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com to listen to some of the previous podcasts like that.
And you mentioned that the importance of putting your plans in writing. So, James, why is that so important for folks?
So, research has shown that people who set their goals in writing and their plans are 42% more likely to actually achieve those things than people who have not put their plans in writing.
Oh, that's a good percentage.
Yeah, but still, surveys of the general population show that only 83%, usually, of people who respond... Well, 83% of people who respond don't even have goals.
Mm.
They've never even defined what success means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough to do that. It's a soul-searching project. 14% of people who responded to some of these surveys had plans, some ideas of what they wanted to do, but they had not put those plans in writing. Only 3% of people out there have actually taken the time to write down their plans.
Wow, that's a staggering statistic.
That's right. And when people are more likely to succeed when they've written things down, that means the largest percentage of people are really, they've got a lot stacked against them because they've never written anything down.
Yeah, that's true. But there are various ways that you can incorporate writing into your lives, right? There's journaling,
mm-hmm.
you can make goal lists, vision boards. We got digital apps on our phones now to take notes. There really is no one-size-fits-all approach.
That's right. But, you know, we'll be talking today about how people can write things down and some formats that can be used. But really, we noted this last week. We said that without defining success and without writing it down, it's a lot like trying to hit a dartboard in a room where the lights are turned out.
Right?
Like just tossing darts. And that's right, the likelihood of actually getting where you're trying to go with the lights turned out is practically nil.
And, you know, the survey you referenced, that's about people asking them about their goals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important for things to be in writing. And revisiting written goals and plans can be a source of motivation and inspiration. Everyone knows Ellen DeGeneres, right? In her early days as a comedian, she famously wrote down a vision for an ideal talk show. All the details included about the set, the audience, and even the types of guests she wanted to have. And then years later, when she launched The Ellen DeGeneres Show, many of those details came to fruition. And Ellen has shared the story in interviews and even on her show, emphasizing the importance of having a clear vision and putting it down into writing.
Yeah, that's right. In his book, Success is Not an Accident, author Tommy Newberry proposes that true success is maximum service to God, but he notes really that success is all about prayerfully developed set of goals that are written, put in writing, so that there's accountability and you can actually see where you're trying to head. Tommy Newberry, in his book Success is Not an Accident, notes that God really wants you to be fully, in every respect, the person that he created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just striving for life where you're trying to follow the rules or, you know, have good living, the book Success is Not an Accident challenges you, if you're reading it, to an abundant life of success, to be all that God wants you to be in service to him and in service to others. So he says, success is the deliberate, measurable pursuit of prayerfully chosen and written goals. But this requires you to grow and develop, right? When you don't write things down, you lose an opportunity to deeply consider the plans that you've made.
That's true. And I think you're less connected to them as well.
Mm-hmm. And with life being so busy, it's just easy to forget what you intended to do last week or last month.
Yeah, our brains are amazing, but they're not designed to keep track of everything. I mean, we have a limited amount of bandwidth going on inside of our heads that when we do try to remember every detail, every task, every goal, it's like trying to drink from a fire hose. It's exhausting and unsustainable.
That's right. You know, it's not just about forgetting appointments either,
right? That's
right. Or grocery lists,
uh-huh.
Right, which I think we'll talk about a bit later, right? We lose sight of our bigger dreams and aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like exciting ideas for a new business, that bucket list trip you've always wanted to take, or even just spending more quality time with loved ones, which can get buried under the weight of everyday life.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes we talk to people and you know, they say how confusing it can be to write things down or how much hard work it is. But just think about some of the major, major projects that we all know. We see these every single day and realizing that they simply wouldn't have happened without a written plan.
What about the forever project of 83?
Forever. I like that, the forever project.
The project in purgatory.
That's right. Yeah. I was just going to say interstate highways, but let's get specific, right?
Uh-huh.
The 83 corridor. That's right. Or 81, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's starting to be that way. I remember when I moved to central Pennsylvania about 30 years ago, and Interstate 83, where it, you know, comes up from York and it comes up where it goes west to 581, and if you go east, it's the South Bridge. That was just this tiny little exit, and I will never forget. I mean, traffic just got busier and busier and busier. Somebody needed to go back and revisit those plans.
Right.
Right.
It was no longer sustainable for the current circumstances.
That's right.
It might have worked for its day.
That's right. So whoever wrote those plans out had a good plan at the time. It just needed to be updated and revisited as things kept evolving.
But you know what? When I moved to Harrisburg in July of 1964, 83 North stopped at Route 22 there at Colonial Road.
Mm.
There was no 81.
Yeah.
And 83 didn't connect to it. There's been a lot of changes, and it's going to continue to be. Look what's going on now between 19th Street and the concrete jungle.
That's right.
I'll never drive on that new road.
That's no. right. But nobody would be able to really evaluate that if there wasn't already a written plan, right? Other things, like if you ever take the Chicago architecture tour, that's a boat ride in downtown Chicago. See all those buildings out there? Every single one of those buildings has a written plan, right? There's no possible way they would build some of those amazing structures unless they had a written plan. So, and other things, extended vacations, you know, whatever. You need to have a written plan. So if we are serious about this idea of being effective stewards and being all that God wants us to be, we have to be at a spot where we're writing things down.
Yeah. No, that's so true.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to get to this week's puzzler.
Yeah. Is it that time?
Almost that time, right? We need to, I guess, first of all, hit last week's puzzle.
Yes. I'll let you handle that one.
Yeah. I thought last week's puzzle was a lot of fun. Last week's puzzle was this. Whoever makes it doesn't tell. Whoever takes it doesn't know. And whoever knows it doesn't want it. What is it?
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll, please. That's right. It is counterfeit money.
Whoever makes it doesn't tell it. Whoever takes it doesn't know it. Whoever knows it doesn't want it.
That's right.
Counterfeit money.
Counterfeit money.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I was not
able to solve that one. That one got me stumped last week. I won't lie.
So I felt, you know, some sense of accomplishment in that it stumped some people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, this week's puzzle is a lot more simple, and I think some people might get it, some people might not.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see.
It's a little tricky, but Yeah, we'll see if Joe can figure it out. I'll see his reaction here.
But if you figure this out, you can't say it.
Out loud.
Can't say it out. Cannot say it out loud.
No.
Okay.
Right. I'll mute my mic.
Well, it might come through mine. Okay. This week's puzzle is: what starts with the letter T, is filled with T, and ends with T? So what starts with the letter T, is filled with T, and ends in T?
Oh, my goodness. Where do people come up with these riddles?
Mm-hmm. I know where you're coming up with them.
You know, wow, what a puzzle.
Yep.
We'll send your – we actually set up an email to receive your responses. Be sure to send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
That's right.
And we'll read the correct answer to the puzzle on next week's show.
That's right. And we're going to take a quick break here. Stay tuned. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And today we're talking about the importance, the incredible importance of putting plans in writing. We said that research shows that you are 42% more likely to achieve the things that you put in writing, the goals and success that you have written down. You're 42% more likely to achieve that if those things are in writing.
That's right. And I saw it often while I was in the military, where combat operations, they involve complex maneuvers, multiple teams, and precise timing. A written plan ensures everyone understands their role, the objectives, and the sequence of events, which helps eliminate confusion, minimizes miscommunication, and maximizes coordination. And even after the operation, a written plan becomes a valuable tool for debriefing and review. It helps identify what worked well, what didn't, and where improvements can be made. This continuous learning process is crucial for enhancing future performance.
Yeah. And you mentioned the military. Sometimes, you know, with every operation has all those moving parts. Sometimes life feels that way.
It sure does.
That's right. So there's
less consequences.
That's right. Less consequences. Different ones, to be sure, but still, you know, consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are probably, I don't know, if we listed every possible way we could think of to put your plans in writing, we could probably just sit here the rest of the day coming up with all the different ways that you could put plans in writing. But today, at least for the time that we have here, we want to focus on four ways that you can put plans in writing. Unfortunately, none of the four is a shopping list for the grocery store, right?
Right. Which is a good idea, too, but we're not going to focus on
that. A good idea. Want to have a shopping list for the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I go to the store, they're like, hey, did you find everything you needed today? And I think, oh, no, I forgot what I needed, and I got a cart full of stuff.
A cart full of stuff that I didn't need.
I wasn't staying on track.
I wasn't staying on track. And, you know, it's like I think I gained 10 pounds today at the grocery store, which was not the original game plan.
Yeah, powdered donuts and all that was not on my list when I walked in.
That's right. And you know, when did you that's like a short-term forgetful. We said a couple minutes ago that if you don't write things down, you forget where it was that you were headed, and it happens to us so easily in the grocery store.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So, but imagine, you know, when if something like that happens in your investment plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just like you go to the grocery store and you don't have a plan, so you wind up just filling your cart with whatever happens to look good. What if you do that with your investment planning?
Right.
You have some idea, but you don't write it down. You don't know where you're headed. And then all of a sudden you find something that looks good over here. And so you put some of that in your portfolio, and then you find something else that sounds good and put a little bit of that in your portfolio and something else and something else. And pretty soon you have this conglomeration of stuff, different investment vehicles, and they're not all working together. They don't work together really well. You know, maybe there's tax impacts that you didn't think about, and you've just got all this stuff, right? And there it is. But this is like your financial independence at play, or your mission, whatever you feel is really your mission in life. That's the impact. And suddenly you've just got all this stuff, and it's not really working together. So
yeah, and like the effect, the exponential effect of like the amount of time that goes by when you're off track like that can be serious.
Can be.
I mean, just that one time shopping, that was just one receipt. But think about that with respect to your investment policy statement for years.
Yeah. And there you mentioned it, an investment policy statement, which is really one way that you can write things down.
Yes.
Right. And an investment policy statement is, so what is an investment policy statement? Well, it's a written plan for your investments.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a grocery shopping list. You have to know what you want first before you go to the store, and you have to write it down so that when you get there, you can look for what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
which sounds redundant, but it isn't. So it does, again, it can sound complicated, but the most successful endowments, portfolio managers, mutual funds, all have investment policy statements.
Mm-hmm.
And an investment policy for your investments accomplishes several really, really important things. One is it sets clear expectations. So that really is something that defines what you as an investor are trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you don't know where you're headed, any road will get you there.
That's true.
So having clear expectations. So what does clear expectations, what does that sound like? Well, it might sound like, hey, I'm trying to get income from my investments so that I can be charitable, or I need income from my investments to supplement Social Security, and so on and so forth. That is an example of a specific expectation and a specific objective.
And it sounds like an investment policy statement might be something only for Wall Street, but it's really just a fancy way of saying written plan for your investments.
That's right.
Think of it like a roadmap for your money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It does need to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be specific things. Last week, we talked about the acronym SMART, and the S in SMART stands for specific. So an investment policy forces you to get specific about what you're trying to accomplish.
That's correct. And it's like having a conversation with yourself about your financial goals and how you want to reach them.
That's right.
And I like that you said it forces you to get specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you investing for? Retirement, your child's education, a dream vacation? It forces you.
That's right. And actually, you know, we didn't write this down, but it just occurred to me that when we get specific, we're actually kind of functioning in the image of God.
Hmm.
Okay. And I think about, you know, the creation story. If you read the first chapter, the first couple of chapters of Genesis, you know, it says, and God created this. And it's really, really specific. It's not like God was sitting there saying, well, I think I just want to have this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, no, he created fish. He created this. He separated out the land from the water and so on and so forth. It's really, really specific. And so I think as people, it's important to be really specific as well. Now, if you're working with a financial advisor or portfolio manager, then the clear expectations that you establish in your investment policy are a form of documentable communication that help to confirm that both you and the advisor that you're working with are on the same page.
That's right.
That you have the same understanding of your plans.
Mm-hmm.
So clear expectations are established in an investment policy. Different kinds of investments that you will use in your portfolio are laid out in an investment policy. And again, that's kind of like saying, hey, I'm going to the grocery store and I want to pick up some flour and I want to pick up some sugar and some butter and not just bags of chips, right?
So instead of investments in a portfolio, they're products in my shopping cart.
That's right.
That's right. Intentional about it.
Be intentional. That's right. So, you know, ask yourself, am I just planning to use mutual funds in my portfolio, or am I planning to use individual stocks and bonds as well? Or am I planning to just use stocks and bonds, or do I want to include other kinds of investments like precious metals and real estate and commodities as well? So it's, again, it's important to be specific when writing out that investment policy. And of course, then and the investment philosophy should be laid out as well. And that's really just a question of, will my portfolio be kind of passive in what's called asset allocation, or will some other more active philosophy be integrated into the investment strategy? And certainly understand what it is you've written down.
And all that should be spelled out.
All this should be spelled out. That's right. I mean, it's not like you have to be able to teach a class on it, but, you know, if you're trying to bake a shoe fly pie, then, you know, you're not going to go to the grocery store and buy a carload of bacon, because that doesn't work in a shoe fly pie. Or at least not the last time I checked, right? But investment policies can either be really complicated, or they can actually be pretty straightforward and just line out a couple of headings like that. But remember to be specific about what you're trying to accomplish, specific about what kinds of investments that you'll use, and very specific in how you will measure success in that portfolio. And that becomes so important, again, when you're looking back as life changes around you and being able to assess that later.
Very good. What would you say another way of writing down a plan is? You said there was a few of them that we'll discuss.
Yeah, so that was really all about an investment plan, but a broadband, just a financial plan in general that would encompass more than just your investment plan. So,
and like we said, circumstances change, so written plans are not set in stone. They should be regularly reviewed and updated.
That's right. That's right. They should be. And if you don't write it down, there's no way you can review it. There's no way you can assess it, right? Oh my goodness, we are running out of time in this segment. But a financial plan really has several basic parts. One, setting goals, which we've said over and over again is so important. Understanding risk, like what is the risk of this not happening, or, you know, if the worst thing happens, how's that going to impact me? What is the risk? And am I willing to take those risks? Understanding cash flow. How is the money that comes into my possession, how is that being distributed? It's the B word that we all love to hate.
What's that?
Budgeting.
Ooh.
That's right.
Ooh, we'll say it again.
Budgeting, that's right. Yeah,
but
understanding cash flow is just critical, right? You have to know where your money is going. It encompasses an investment strategy. It encompasses how you want to distribute things later in terms of estate planning. And then it's going to also talk about implementing those decisions and monitoring the result. So, as you said, written plans are not set in stone, but if you don't write things down, then any road is going to take you where you're going, and you may not be happy with exactly where you end up.
Right. And a financial plan isn't just about numbers and spreadsheets. It's about your hopes, your dreams, and your values.
That's right.
Writing down your financial goals can create an emotional connection that motivates you to stay disciplined and make smart choices.
That's exactly right.
Well, we're all out of time in this segment. We'll be back, and we will continue the discussion on important plans to be written down. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are co-hosting today. And today we're just talking about the importance of writing things down.
That's right.
And the good things that can happen when you do. We talked about two important ways, well, three important ways of writing things down so far, right? We talked about an investment policy statement. We talked about a financial plan. And we talked about a shopping list for the grocery store. I mean, you really cannot forget the shopping list at the grocery store.
That's high-level financial documents right there.
That is high-level finance right there. But sometimes it's helpful to take more complex things like a financial plan or a business plan or an investment policy statement and just make it an analogy, saying, you know, I would never go to the grocery store without a shopping list, unless you do. I mean, maybe you're one of those people that pulls it off successfully.
Yep.
But you would say, you know, I would never do that. So why in the world would I do something of so much more importance without having a list?
Sure.
Without having a written out plan, right? So an investment policy, a financial plan. If you are self-employed or you're running a business of any kind, a business plan is a third way of writing things down. And I should note, you know, we want to cover those other two ways of writing things down, and then we want to share some resources as well as just an observation that we think represents really good advice.
Right, and a business plan is like the blueprint for your company.
Mm-hmm.
It outlines the structure, the purpose, and the steps needed to bring your vision to life.
That's right. And your vision, that's embedded in your heart as to where you want to go.
And that's unique to you.
It is unique to you.
And with defining what success is for you.
That's right. So writing it down makes it really specific, makes it measurable, and often really makes it achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that a good business plan is in writing.
Yeah, and a good business plan, as you say, it should include your company's mission and values, your target market, your marketing strategy, financial projections, and a clear plan for growth.
That's right.
It's a comprehensive document that covers all the aspects of your business.
That's right. I've heard people ask already, hey, if I've got this written down, is that a guarantee that I'm going to succeed?
Absolutely not.
No. Remember, you know, all investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. If you're in business, you're faced with risk every single day. Just because you write things down doesn't mean that things will always go the way you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
But having things written down, again, gives you a place to assess and measure and make adjustments. And you can see those things happening. If you don't have that in place, then those horrible things can happen and you'll never possibly even know until it's way too late. So having a business plan, having an investment policy does not guarantee that you'll be successful, but it does put your plans in writing.
That's right. And if you are a business and if you're seeking funding, a well-crafted business plan is essential. It demonstrates to potential investors that you've done your homework and that you have a solid plan for success.
That's right.
And even if you're not seeking funding, a business plan is a valuable tool for keeping your business focused and accountable. It's a reminder of your original vision and a guide for making strategic decisions.
That's right. And, you know, along with the fourth way of writing things down, when you put these kinds of plans in writing, it also gives you something really specific that when you are in prayer about what God is calling you to in life and the steps He wants you to take next, you've got something that you can get in front of God with and say, Lord, is this where you want me to go? Right? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, and just pray and ask God to, you know, kind of breathe on your business plan, on your investment policy, and so on and so forth. Well, if you know,
right, that was like the Tommy Newberry book, right?
That is exactly right.
Yeah, prayerfully chosen.
Prayerfully chosen. That's exactly right. If you don't feel inclined to write out an entire financial plan or an investment policy statement, at a very minimum, you can take each account that you have, you can take each, let's say, insurance policy, every asset you have, just make a list, and next to each one, just say, what is the purpose of this account? What is the purpose of this policy? What is the purpose of this property? What is the purpose of this business, right? And just make a specific note about why it's there. And again, that may not rise to the level of a, quote, full financial plan, but it will give you a way of tracking what you had in mind, and you'll be able to measure whether or not that account, that policy, that property, that business, et cetera, is actually doing what you had hoped it would do in the first place.
So what if someone is trying to put together a well-crafted business plan? What type of help is there out there for folks? What type of resources can they seek out?
Yeah, so there are clearly free resources. You know, people can hire advisors to work with them, financial advisors, wealth managers, CPAs, attorneys. These are all examples of professionals who help people to construct those kinds of plans. One thing we would note is that as you seek out resources or advisors to work with, or both, make a point of confirming that those resources and advisors are also in alignment with your vision and values and your definition of success.
That's right.
Right.
We're telling folks every week, align your values with your money.
That's
align
right.
Align your investments with your money, whatever those values may be. So it's also important to align those that you partner with are in line with your values as well.
That's exactly right. It's so easy. Sometimes, you know, well-meaning and very competent advisors could give you advice that just doesn't quite get you where you're trying to go because the values alignment isn't there. I think of a client that we worked with a number of years ago who I guess her husband had passed away, and she was very, very charitable, right? She wanted to be doing a lot of giving, but to date they had literally all of their money in interest-bearing accounts, and there just wasn't very much interest getting paid, and she wanted to be charitable. She wanted to do a lot of giving. And her kids really said to her, hey, wow, if you keep giving money away, you're going to run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks that she was working with do her taxes at the time, they had said to her, usually we don't see people doing a lot of charitable giving until they have much higher net worth. Well, they said that because for them, giving was all about reducing your taxes. And she just wasn't in that kind of a tax bracket. So, but in that particular case, in that story, she was able to reposition her portfolio with some different objectives in mind. And that enabled her to do some additional giving that she would not have been able to do otherwise. So, you know, again, that kind of a strategy involved some risk, and she took the risk of possibly losing money as well. But again, different types of assets needed to be in alignment with what her goals were and what her definition of what she was trying to achieve actually was all about.
Right.
So it's super important, again, to make sure that there's good alignment in the resources that you are using, in the advisors that you're working with. And if there needs to be a change, then make sure that that's on the shopping list so that you know why you're looking to make a change. And you can have that conversation with, you know, a different advisor that you're contacting or looking, evaluating a different resource. You do that in the context of what you have written down on the proverbial shopping list. So, yeah, so let's talk. I know you had done some homework, Eric, in looking at some online, you know, some resources that people can get just online.
We want to point people in the right direction, right? Finding good help, good resources, good advice from folks. So some of the places that we would point the direction for business plan would be the SBA, the Small Business Administration. Their website offers comprehensive guides, templates, and examples for writing business plans. They also have online courses and workshops on business planning as well.
Yeah, so there is really an example of a tool or a place you can go to get tools, and the tools are kind of fill-in-the-blank tools, right? So, which is really important. As the blanks are filled in, if you're filling them in, make sure that as you're filling them in, again, what you're putting there is a reflection of what your vision is and your definition of success.
And also their SCORE, the nonprofit organization, what does that acronym stand for? Retired Entrepreneurs?
The Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Retired Executives.
That's right.
And they're super helpful. I've had a few meetings with them folks a number of years back. You know, they provide free mentoring and counseling from experienced professionals, including assistance with business plan development. So that's a really good resource as well.
That's right. Reference back to what we were just saying about alignment,
mm-hmm.
right? And
you know, and they want to see a business plan.
And they want to see
when you go, when I went and talked to them, he said, next time you come in, let me see your business plan.
Let me see your business plan.
Because people are willing to open up and help, but they want to know that A, you're committed, mm-hmm. and B, that you're going to take action to the advice that they provide to you.
That's right. You know, taking action is absolutely critical. If you don't do something about the plans that you have written down, you will never get there.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, no matter how many times you write it down, or
that's exactly right. And this reality is just so important when you're talking about, again, where you're trying to go, but putting into place God's plan in your life. If you don't do something about it, it's never going to happen.
That's true.
That's right. So, again, if there's just one thing you take away from today's show and today's conversation, it's that you are so much more likely to succeed if you write things down.
That's right.
And then do something about it.
Do something about it. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Mentors, advisors, experienced entrepreneurs, they're all here to help, but you must be intentional with your goals, write it down, and take action.
That's right. Some of the guests we'll be having in coming weeks will be examples of places where this very thing has happened and the exciting stories that are occurring.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for today's show. We want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.